تمام. اوكي. ايمان. My daughter, who just sang, she sang last night at Yankee Stadium. Pastor Joel Osteen had invited CC Winans, and there was a sister in Christ who many of us know, and my daughter knows very well, who was putting together a choir, backup choir for CC Winans. So she sang there last night, and it was a beautiful, beautiful occasion. God is good. I tell you, God is good. I'll just say one more thing about my daughter. You know, you mentioned she's from Long Island. You know, that's only for another month. She just signed a lease on an apartment in Brooklyn. Since she's changing jobs shortly, and she'll be working as an attorney for a federal judge here in Manhattan, she wants to be closer to the job. So God is good. God is good. It's a great experience to be a federal court judge. About 40 years ago, I was a federal court judge, a federal court clerk, and I met my wife during my clerkship. So, let's keep hope alive. Let's keep hope alive. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. So I know many of us have heard it many, many times. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his words for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our God, Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we thank you once again for being in your house on yet another Lord's Day. Our Father, we thank you for all that has taken place. We thank you for that beautiful song that was sung. And we'd ask you to just hide me behind the cross and let me be an oracle for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, you know, it's a famous portion of scripture, but for continuity's sake, you know, I think we should read verses 10 through 18, which starts out where it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I'm going to shift over to King James Version now. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for the saints. Amen. Amen. You know, today we read just about every day in the newspapers about the escalating tensions between Russia and Ukraine, about the United States and North Korea, the United States and Russia, the United States and China, escalating tensions in the Middle East with Iran, Afghanistan. And the list goes on and on. The interesting thing is we never really read about stories about spiritual warfare between believers and the enemy and his agents that are carried out every day. I remember when I went through the Inquirer's class at the Old Good Tidings, and having been in the class for over 6 months, and having survived that long walk from the back of Good Tidings with all the eyes of the believers watching me as I walked from the back all the way up to the stage where they held the Inquirer's class. But I was determined. And right before I was baptized, the late, great Ivan Fox handed me a scripture, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And I've used that scripture. I mean, you know, that's been close to me. In these scriptures, in this particular set of verses, the operative word is stand. Where do you stand? In verses 11 through 14, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. As believers, we need to take a stand for Jesus Christ. We also need to realize that we are in a warfare that never ends until the Lord calls us home. Now, verse 10 tells us how we ought to stand. In verse 10, it says, in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul also tells us how to prepare for battle. And in the Christian battle, we need the armor of God to repel the temptations and strategies of the devil. Yes, to repel the stratagems of the devil. The devil's plans, the devil's schemes, the devil's tactics, the devil's tricks. And how do we accomplish this? Put on the whole armor of God. Now, in war, there is no substitute for victory. In war, there is no substitute for victory. In our spiritual war, we should settle for nothing less than absolute victory. We should say, I'm not going into this Christian war to be defeated. You know, there was a story about a football player who graduated from college, and he was drafted into the NFL. He didn't make the final cut on the NFL team. Coach heard about it and said to him, I'll give you a job right here on your old college team. He said, great, coach. So the coach told him his job would be to find the best football players they could find. And he said, coach, I'd be more than happy to do that. So he said, coach, what kind of player are you looking for? He said, There's a kind of guy that when you knock him down, he stays down. And he said, Coach, do we want that kind of guy? The coach said, no, we don't want that kind of guy. He said, then there's a kind of guy that when you knock him down, he gets back up. But if you knock him down a second time, he stays down. He said, Coach, you want that kind of guy? The coach said, no, we don't want him either. But he said, Coach, well, you know, there's a kind of guy that when you knock him down, he gets back up. When you knock him down again, he gets back up again. And when you knock him down again, he gets back up again. No matter how many times you knock him down, Coach, he gets back up. Do we want that kind of guy, Coach? The coach said, no, we don't want him either. He said, Coach, what kind of guy do you want? He said, we want the guy who's knocking everybody down. So in our war, we should not settle for anything less than absolute victory. So what are we to do? Prepare for attack. It's coming. Prepare for attack. Prepare for attack. Our war is unlike any other war in the history of the world. I'm talking about the Christian warfare. This is not a physical war. This is a spiritual war. This is not a natural war. It's a supernatural war. This is an invisible war. This is difficult to conceptualize because we live in a world that is visual. We grasp and we understand that which we can see, that which we can feel, that which we can touch. But this is a spiritual war. So take a look at verse 12 again. And here's what it says. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high place. Spiritual. And it continues, and it continues. It's being fought in our homes. Did you know that the divorce rate among Christians is the same as the divorce rate today amongst unbelievers? Did you know that divorce is as big a problem inside the church as it is outside the church? Christian marriages are failing at a record rate. Did you know that children in Christian homes are rebelling against the authority of their parents, just like the children are rebelling against their parents in non-Christian homes? Why are we hearing about this? Why are we hearing about the multitude of pastors committing sins? Why is it that we have such a battle day by day to do what's right rather than what's wrong? It's because that battle place is taking place in our hearts. That battle is taking place in our minds. That battle is taking place in our homes. The war is invisible, but the war is real. Pick up a newspaper. What do we read about? Rape, murder, child abuse, terrorism, nuclear threats, war. But what's interesting is our war is an invisible war. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about it. And he says we wrestle against principalities. It's a very interesting verse. You know, because he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He goes on to say, against powers. So which one is it? Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, which one is it? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, which one is it? You know, what he's saying is that, listen, the evil we face is layered. And think about it. Principalities, they're numerous. They are the various nations in darkness. against powers. What are the powers? They are numerous. They are vigorous and rule nations in darkness. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The rulers. Who are the rulers? They are numerous and they are vigorous and they rule over the nations in darkness. Against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. These enemies are said to be in high places or in heavenly places, not being in heaven itself where our Lord and Savior is, but they're in the expansion between earth and the stars. The air being the place where the devil assaults us. Now, some theologians would suggest that at the bottom, you'll find the spiritual forces of evil, right? As the Apostle Paul refers to. So when he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, right? Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, at the bottom, you'll find the spiritual forces of evil. And who are they? Fallen angels, the demons. And over them would be the powers, even stronger demons, who are governed by the rulers, even stronger demons, and then Satan himself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's dangerous. What's a ruler? This could be a president of a country. This could be a president of a company, prime minister of a nation. You know, demonic forces rule territorially. The devil and his angels are not like God. They're not omnipresent. So they can only operate territorially. The war is invisible. It is a battle that's taking place again in our hearts, in our minds, and in our homes. And we have to put on the whole armor of God. We battle against the ranks of demons who have a government which they exercise in this world. Against the devil and all the powers of darkness, we must withstand. And to stand against the enemy is to strive against sin. And we know that Jesus already has the victory. You know, have you ever thought about that? God right now has Satan on a leash. He's going to unravel the leash a little bit during the time of the tribulation. But we'll talk about that. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's spiritual. No one gets out of this war. I'm not sure we're going to get to that part of it today. So I made a promise I'm not sure I can keep unless the elders want to give me like a, you know, like they did some people in the past, like different parts, part series. You know, at least your brethren can think about that, you know, because this is more than one part, more than one sermon. But think about it. But I'm looking for 21 parts, you know, it's a. So what the Apostle Paul says is this is an invisible war. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. No one's getting out of it, this war. No one gets deferments. There are no conscientious objectors. There are no exemptions. If you are a Christian, you are in a war. You are in the army of God. So the first thing we have to do is prepare for attack. We have to get up in the morning and say, it's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. And remember that I am at war. You have to say to yourself, I'm at war, because we're in a war. The second thing we have to do is know our enemy. You must have a knowledge of the enemy. Many armies lose their war because they don't know their enemy. You know, if you look at college football teams or basketball teams, the coach is only allowed to practice with the players, you know, during the season, you know, 2 hours a day or whatever it is. And the rest of the time they watch videos of who they're playing, and they want to know the strength of the opposing team. They want to know their weaknesses. And I'm amazed at the number of people who don't believe that Satan and his agents, his other fallen angels, or the other fallen angels, are real. A lot of people don't believe that. You know, it reminds me of a prize fighter who was in the ring. And after the first round, his opponent had knocked him, had knocked out two of his front teeth. At the bell, he came to the corner and his manager said, "Get back out there. This guy hasn't laid a glove on you." So the second round, he went back out, and this time his opponent bruised his cheek. He came to the corner and his manager said, "Get back out there. This guy hasn't laid a glove on you." And the third round, his opponent broke his nose. I mean, his opponent was just beating the daylights out of him. And the bell came, he went over to the corner, and his manager said, "Get back out there. This guy hasn't laid a glove on you." That went on for 7 rounds. Both his eyes were shut, and he was bleeding from the nose. His lips were blown up. And the bell came to the corner, and his manager said, "Get back out there. This guy hasn't laid a glove on you." So the fighter said, "Coach, I need you to do something for me." He said, "Sure, champ." He's, you know, getting ready. "Anything for you, champ." He said, "Coach, what I need you to do is keep your eye on that referee, because somebody is beating the daylights out of me out there." Yeah. So a lot of people don't believe in demonology. But who do you think is tempting you to have an affair? Who do you think is trying to trip up your kids, trip up your grandkids? So we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Really, the tricks, the plots. And we need to realize the devil is real. And what's interesting is that when you think about the enemy, you know, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. You know, God wants us to be happy. Satan wants us to be sad, depressed. A lot of depression in the world today. You know, I was at my doctor's office last week, and she says, "Well, you know, we went through everything, the test and everything, you know." Yeah. So she said, "You know, you got to work on your sugar numbers." You know, and she was trying to sell me one of these drugs, you know, I wasn't taking it. So we talked a little more. And then she said, "Well, how are you feeling? You know, you depressed?" I said, "No." She said, "Is everything okay?" "Everything's fine." But she went on, because if you're feeling any old way and you're not, up, you could let me know. I said, "I'm feeling fine." She said, "You sure you're not depressed?" So I went home, I told Phil, I said, if she asked me that question one more time, I was going to tell her, "I get depressed when clients aren't paying me. Are you going to back them up?" So God wants us to be happy. Satan wants us to be depressed. God wants us to be holy. Satan wants us to be sinful. And if you're not saved, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, the devil has an agenda for you. And that agenda is he's going to do everything in his power to make sure you go to hell. And if you're saved and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the devil has something for you too. He's got one agenda for you. He's going to do everything in his power that he can to make sure you lose the joy of your salvation. The joy of your salvation. Satan's going to make sure, if you let him, if you open that door, Satan will do everything in his power to make sure that you have a wasted life. That doesn't count for anything. I mean, as believers, you know, we're going to go to heaven, but all you're going to do is get there. You would have accomplished nothing for God. So we have to know our adversary. Here's the last thing we have to do. We have to wear the armor. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so you may withstand the wiles of the devil. So Paul is saying, put on the whole armor of God when we get up in the morning and don't take it off until we go to bed at night. But if you let your guard down even one time, the devil will trick you. If you let your guard down one time, the devil will blindside you. Now, what's interesting, the Bible never tells us to run from the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee, James 4:7. So what is the armor? The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your feet with truth. Do this and you will be successful. Fail to do this and you will know what will happen. You will be a defeated Christian. And you know, when you get to heaven, you know what God is going to show you? He's going to show you, look at all the things you could have done had you just walked with me. Here's all the things you could have done had you just talked to me. Here's what you could have accomplished. Here's what you could have been. Here's what your marriage could have looked like. Here's what your children could have turned out to be. Here is the influence you could have had in the place of your employment. But you never showed up for the war. You unconditionally surrendered. It's interesting because we are to, if you have to summarize this, we are all in a spiritual battle, or really a spiritual war, because it's endless battles. And this is not something just for an elite group of persons in the Christian community. It's not something that we elect to get into. It's not a volunteer system. All of us as Christians are part of a spiritual struggle. And if we are to prevail, we must be clothed with the God's armor. We have to have the kind of character that God gives us that is able to stand against the onslaughts of the enemy. We have to be clothed with righteousness and carry the shield of faith and have the preparation of the gospel of peace at our disposal. Thirdly, we ought to carry the offensive weapon, which is our sword, which is the word of God. We have to know it and use it. Some people say, I believe in the Bible. You ask, what do you believe? And they can't name any scripture. Finally, Paul stresses not once but twice the necessity for prayer. He says in everything, everything must be brought before God in prayer. Praying always in all things. That is what we need if we are going to be victorious. And if we consult God, we won't be misled by mere sense impressions. So like I said earlier, we don't have to worry too much. We have to worry, but give it all to God and know that God has Satan on a leash. He can only touch you with so much as God permits him. But during the tribulation period, if you're someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that tribulation period is simply one day the Lord's coming for the church, those of us who know him and believe in him as our personal Lord and Savior. Dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive shall be caught up. It's going to be a beautiful moment in time. He's not coming back to earth just yet. He'll be in the sky, in the clouds. We're going to be caught up there because there's going to be a tribulation period here. And you don't want to be here for that. Like I mentioned, it's going to be a very difficult period to exist. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I would urge you to do so today. You know, it was interesting. I began with the fact that I was at Yankee Stadium yesterday and I was listening to, C.C. Winan and, Kimberly Waters and, the backup singers, Ruth Ann Winter and, all these other backup singers that were there. And it was beautiful. They had a little program. The preacher came out and he gave a message. And, I know that some people may have some issues with this particular pastor. I don't. He said a simple sinner's prayer. Simple altar call. He said, Lord, if anyone that wants to stand, that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and invite God into your life, I need you to stand. Thousands of people stood. He said, well, I want you to say this prayer after me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask forgiveness for my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He said, if you said that simple prayer, you're born again. So if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, I would suggest you say that simple prayer today. I'm here. You can talk to me, talk to any of the brethren, and we'd be happy to show you from the Word of God what you have done by accepting that prayer and how your life has now changed forever. And I have to tell you that it's great being a Christian. There's joy every day, every day. It doesn't matter what the doctor tells you. Because you have the joy of the Spirit. You're not depressed. You're excited about life. And the Lord is with you. So it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, because our Lord will supply all your needs. I was never late, I always paid my mortgage on time. The only time I was late was when I went on my honeymoon because I wanted to carry a little extra money. So, but other than that, but God is good. Amen. Amen.